Welcome to Real Money Radio, the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. Here's your host, certified financial planner, David Holland.
And we're back, and we've got great stuff to talk about. Yes, I can say that because we have brought back someone. Actually, I think we got to do a double check and do a show count here. But if she's not one of our most returning guests, she is definitely in the top 5 or 10. Christine Benz, who is the director of personal finance for Morningstar, our friends over at Morningstar.com. And she's a writer. She writes a lot, and we keep track of all of her work. And she's got a lot of great contributions that she makes with the work she's done. She's got a number of articles she's written, and we stay tuned to what's going on out there. So, quick couple comments about Christine, and we'll roll into the program here. She's worked as an analyst and editor for Morningstar since 1993. And worked her way through Morningstar and taken on different roles. And she is in the director of personal finance position today. She holds a degree in political science and Russian East European studies. Wow. I've said that a few times. And every time I say it, Christine, I have to say, wow, that's a lot. University of Illinois. And she's on the board of directors for Girl Scouts of Greater Chicago. I like seeing that. That's wonderful work. And she's the author of several books and 30-Minute Money Solutions, a step-by-step guide for managing your finances. And so there's a lot of great work that Christine's done. And she's got a very convenient position in keeping track of all this and really keeping tabs on the world of finance. So we're glad to welcome her back. Christine, welcome back to the program.
David, it's always great to be here. Thank you so much for having me.
Well, it's my pleasure, and I appreciate your work at Morningstar and your contribution to the financial world and the analysis that you do. And I know you've got a lot of great articles that people can find over at Morningstar.com. That's the website, of course, for individual investors. So I want to dive right in here because I will confess I don't know as much as I should about one of the subjects you recently wrote about. So we're going to kill two birds with one stone here. And it is the health savings account, HSAs. And you wrote about three tricks for getting the most out of them. So let me first get comfortable here. Get on the couch. You're going to put me in school here on HSAs.
Okay.
So go ahead. For my fellow people out there that may not know as much about them as they would like, and it's just not something I've really had a need to know a lot about, so therefore I just haven't dealt with it. But I'm very curious because, you know, one of the things that, as you very much know, Christine, and a lot of fellow business people out there know, is that we've got no breaks, even though there's been attempts to make healthcare better and all these wonderful platitudes about how if we do this and do that, that the healthcare will get better. My health insurance for my company has gone up steadily for 19 years in a row. We've never gotten a reduction, and of late it's gotten the rate increases have gotten just plain flat out obnoxious. So I guess the first question is, what is an HSA and is it a possible solution for reining in these healthcare costs that just seem to go up every year?
Well, first let's talk about what an HSA is. And one of the key things to know is that you can only contribute to a health savings account or HSA if you are also participating in what's called a high deductible healthcare plan.
Okay.
So some people are opting for these high deductible plans by choice because the premiums are lower. So individuals who are out on the market in some cases are choosing these types of plans. Employers are increasingly putting employees into these plans, into the high deductible plans, because they're more cost effective for the employer. So at some employers, you have no choice. It's the high deductible plan or nothing. Other employers like Morningstar, for example, offers a high deductible plan alongside the traditional PPO. So we have our choice.
Okay.
For people who have very few health issues and they do have a choice, so maybe the choice is between the PPO, which is a lower premium product, or the high deductible plan, in some cases the high deductible plan can make sense because your premiums on an ongoing basis are lower, but your out-of-pocket costs are higher. So it's confusing. Some consumers have no choice. Some consumers have a choice.
Okay. Well, and so the general concept, if I've got it right, and correct me on this, Christine, is that basically you have a high deductible plan, which means basically you may be paying for more deductible, more out of pocket than you would another plan with lower deductibles and lower out of pocket, but your money instead of a higher premium for the insurance policy, the health insurance policy, or the group medical insurance policy through your employer, is you get contributions or are able to make contributions to the health savings account, which if you don't use it, you would use it first for your medical care before you can reach these deductible limits, and then whatever plan you have kicks in. But if you don't use it, then it could end up being something that rolls over and grows and can be a future source of either paying for healthcare or even become something that becomes part of your retirement?
That's exactly right. So one good point to make, and you raised it with this ability to roll over the HSA, is that an HSA is different from a flexible spending account, which some people may be familiar with. And in the past, it's gotten a little more flexible, but in the past, the FSA, the flexible spending account or flexible spending arrangement, was use it or lose it. You had to spend that money out of the account. It would not roll over. The key difference and one of the key benefits with the HSA is if you overfund your HSA, you don't use that money for healthcare costs in a given year, it will roll over to the next year. And one of the key reasons why you might consider doing that or overfunding your HSA is that it looks really attractive from a tax standpoint. Mm. So when we look across all of the vehicles that we have for tax advantage savings, whether 401ks or IRAs or 529 plans, HSAs really look the best. The government very much wants us to use these HSAs because you're putting in pre-tax contributions. So these are monies that have not been taxed on the way in. You're enjoying tax-free compounding on the money as long as it stays within the HSA. And when you pull the money out for qualified health care expenses, it does not get taxed.
Okay.
So it's pretty attractive from a tax standpoint, especially, and this is one reason why we've been calling attention to it, for healthy and wealthy people with few out-of-pocket health care costs or those who have the wherewithal to use other money to pay for their health care costs as they occur, that money can be a really attractive retirement funding vehicle mm-hmm. because the money will come out tax-free in retirement.
Well, here's one of the key questions, because as people hear this and as I'm thinking about it, the first question I suppose I should have asked is where does the money come from that goes into the HSA? Is it the employee's money? Is it the employer's money where, instead of paying the insurance company, they're paying into the HSA for the employee? How's the funding work?
It is mainly the employee's own money that goes into the HSA, but oftentimes employers will contribute matching contributions to help boost the balance or to help give employees an incentive to make a contribution. But by and large, the contributions are funded by the employee, him or herself.
And the rules on that, I mean, is it like a up match up to a certain percent? For 2016, the individual HSA limit is $3,350. And if I'm looking at the IRS website correctly, Christine, it says that's a $3,350 is the limit for total for the
employee.
Okay. Single, but for the employer and the employee total combined.
Right, and then $66,750 for people who are contributing to an HSA on behalf of a family and are covering their family with that high deductible health care plan.
So if the employer, make this clear, so if the employer wanted to put the entire $3,350 in, they could?
They could. Most don't. Most
right.
Contribute, frankly, more or less of a token contribution.
Really?
The onus is really on the employee to fund that HSA on his or her own.
You see this being done in conjunction with the flexible savings account where it's kind of like a cafeteria style plan where the employer says, okay, here's how much money total we're allocating to your health insurance per month. And you can take door number one, which is the traditional plan, and you get this much and it pays for whatever portion of the premium. Maybe they pay for all of the premium of the traditional plan and you've got these regular, not so lofty deductibles and co-pays. And then door number two is the health savings account in combination with a high deductible plan, and we'll make a certain contribution toward the high deductible plan and then an additional amount toward the HSA. You see it done kind of as that kind of arrangement as well?
Yeah, absolutely. It can either be the high deductible plan can either be the sole option, so the HDHP with the health savings account, increasingly because it is typically the most cost effective way to go for employers.
Okay.
That's what we're seeing is where that's the sole option. And a lot of people who don't have the money set aside mm-hmm. to fund these out of pocket costs are naturally pretty irked about being shoved into one of these high deductible
sure,
health care plans.
Course.
It's not always the best option, especially for lower income folks.
Good point. If you're just joining us, you see why she's back. Christine Benz, ladies and gentlemen, Director of Personal Finance for Morningstar. This article that we're talking about, Christine recently wrote, Three Tricks for Getting to the Most Out of Your HSA. Find that on Morningstar.com. We've got lots more. Quick break, word from our wonderful sponsors of the program, and we'll be right back with Christine.
Hello, this is Brenda Campbell, General Manager at Volusia Memorial Funeral Home and Cemetery, a Digny Memorial provider. We are committed to service beyond expectation, before, during, and after the service. To that end, we offer a service guarantee. If there's anything we can do to meet your individual needs, please let us know and we'll take care of it immediately. This is another way we offer great level of professionalism in working with our families. We can be reached at 386-673-5373 or our website, VolusiaMemorialFunerals.com. Volusia Memorial Funeral Home in Port Orange and Ormond Beach. Life well celebrated.
The Rice and Rose Law Firm is celebrating 30 years of service in Volusia and Flagler counties. I'm Paul Rice, President and Managing Partner of Rice and Rose. The Rice and Rose Law Firm has a department dedicated to estate planning, wills, trusts, and probate. We also provide legal guidance if you need a power of attorney, living will, or health care surrogate. Contact the Rice and Rose Law Firm at our Daytona Beach office at 257-1222 or visit our website at ricerosenlaw.com.
Hello, this is David Holland. You already know from listening to this program that I'm very careful about my financial advice. It will come as no surprise then that I feel the same way about my other recommendations. If you love traditional, authentic Greek food as much as I do, then there's just one place to go, the Greek Town Taverna at 150 North Nova Road in Ormond Beach. It's just around the corner from my office, so you'll see me there for lunch at least a couple times a week. They've got stuffed grape leaves, gyros, lamb chops, octopus, and baklava. You can find all of these wonderful homemade Greek favorites every day of the week. They offer a wide variety of wine and beer to pair with your meal as well. Visit GreekTownTaverna.com or call 386-944-9526 for more information. I'll see you there. Hey, we're back. Christine Benz on the lines, Morningstar's personal finance director, and she's been with Morningstar since 1993. 23 years, Christine. That's a good run.
Yeah, thank goodness they hired me when I was a child.
Yes, exactly. I was trying to figure that out because I see you on LinkedIn and I'm looking going, well, she must have been drafted you right out of like fourth grade or something. Come on.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's
okay. Good. Good. We're always kind to our guests, Christine, and I'm glad you're back. I want to ask you a practical question. You know, when people then, okay, so they've got their HSA and they then need to use it though, some of the money in there, and they've got the high deductible plan for the major stuff. And it's time to, you know, make that copay to the doctor or whatever. Then how do they access it? Is it set up with like a credit card or some other voucher system, or you got to pay out of pocket and get reimbursed? How does it usually work?
You typically are issued a debit card
there
that goes along with the HSA. But one thing to keep an eye on, and this is where we get into the layers of fees that can often accompany these HSAs, is that often there are point of purchase fees associated with using that debit card. So it may not be like your traditional bank-issued debit card. You may actually pay $1 or $2 per transaction, which is unfortunate, but it's a fact of life with these HSAs.
So like with a lot of things, it pays to shop around. Now, of course, the employee doesn't have a lot of control here. If the HSA is set up by the employer, it's kind of like a 401k or other type of retirement plan or the health insurance plan that the employer selects. You know, the individual employee doesn't have a lot of control here, do they, through the HSA, or they have some independent control over it?
Well, they do and they don't. So your employer does select the HSA custodian. It's early days for HSAs at this point, so frankly, there are a lot of HSAs out there that have fees all over the place. So you might have account maintenance fees. You might have these point of purchase transaction fees. You might have big fees if you want to actually invest the HSA assets. You may have fees at that level, or maybe the mutual fund choices aren't very good. So it does pay to shop around. One thing to know is that if you are contributing to an HSA through your employer, so your contributions are coming right out of your paycheck and getting steered into the HSA, one thing to know is that you can periodically transfer the money out of your captive health savings account, out of the employer-based health savings account, into an HSA of your choice. So you're only allowed to do one rollover per year, but you can do what's called a transfer on an unlimited number of times throughout a given year.
Oh.
So it does pay to shop around, even if you are contributing at first to that employer-provided HSA, you can periodically transfer the money out.
That's cool.
Yeah, so a couple of HSA providers that look reasonable are HSA Administrators and HSA Bank. Both offer pretty good menus of inexpensive index funds and exchange-traded funds for people who are using those HSAs.
That's great. Well, that's kind of like the in-service distribution from a retirement account for people over 59 and a half.
Right, right. So people need to read the fine print, certainly with their 401k plans, if they need to do those, if they want to do the in-service distribution. With an HSA, you are allowed to do these transfers.
Right.
And most, nearly all HSAs would offer them. So check into that if your HSA is subpar or costly.
That's very good. So that there are definitely some options here. And now, you know, there is, you know, there's a lot of discussion, and I'm sure you've seen it and heard it and been observing it like I have, Christine. All this talk, so much talk in the media and everything else about, and of course, it's an election year, right? So there's a lot of talk about how much control, how much of a participant, how much of a active participant each person is in their own health care. You know, with health care continuing to rise and employers like me experiencing just ridiculous rate increases over the years, we look at this and go, is it ever going to stop? And one of the things that's, you know, kind of batted around is the individual person having a lot more control. And it would seem to me that if you are in control of your spending of your HSA dollars, and then to the extent you don't spend them, could be part of your retirement, it would seem to me then that makes the consumer a whole lot more cognizant and aware of what, you know, what they're going to charge you for the MRI at one location versus another. Whereas there's an incentive here for the consumer to shop around.
Right. And that's part of the goal. That's one of the reasons that the HSA receives all of these tax benefits, is that the government really likes this idea of trying to put some downward pressure on costs. And frankly, when we all were under the system where the employer was providing health insurance, there wasn't that cost sensitivity. You would go and say you were going to an orthopedic doctor and they recommended that you get an MRI right there at the facility. You'd say, okay, go ahead. This is convenient for me. With the HSA, you do have a little more incentive to shop around if your goal is to try to preserve those dollars in your HSA. So that's one of the reasons that these HSAs have enjoyed such an uptake, is that the goal is to give consumers a little more sensitivity to some of these costs. Another thing worth noting is that people who are participating in the high deductible plans oftentimes have some baseline of basic testing that is covered automatically without figuring into your own out-of-pocket costs. So you're typically entitled to an annual physical. You're entitled to some of the baseline testing that we should all have, especially as we age. So most of the plans do offer some of those tests and ongoing diagnostics that are really important to overall wellness as part of the package before the deductibles even figure in.
That's good. That makes sense because, you know, there definitely has to be some of those, preventive type items and to keep things from getting, you know, a little bit out of control there. If you're just joining us, Christine Benz, our guest again today, Director of Personal Finance for Morningstar, morningstar.com. Great article she's writing. You can find them over at morningstar.com. We're going to grab another quick break. We'll come back. More to talk about with Christine. I think we'll even get to a couple other quick subjects like inflation-proofing your portfolio. How about that? Stay right there.
Having a place to go after school will make you a better student. Having an outlet to express yourself will make you a better artist. Having something to do together will make you a better family. At The Y, we're helping build better friends, listeners, writers, swimmers, scientists, and musicians, one chance at a time. Give the gift of opportunity. Support The Y.
For more information on what your Y does and how you can help, visit vfymca.org/give.
The Y. For a better us.
Hey, David Holland here. I'd like you to listen closely to a few words from my good friends, Tony Papandrea and Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation.
Hi, I'm Tony, chairman of the Florida Hospital Hospice Care Foundation. If you need more income now with some tax advantages and would like to leave a future benefit for Florida Hospital Hospice Care, a charitable gift annuity might be a good fit for you. Learn how to include charitable gift annuities in your financial planning. They could benefit you with higher tax advantage yields than you are getting now and benefit Florida Hospital Hospice Care later. Call us at 386-586-4440 for more information.
Hi, I'm Dr. Dan Drake. My staff and I have enjoyed delivering excellent, lasting dental care to countless patients for many years. We are a modern dental practice offering a full range of services including cosmetic, implant, Invisalign, and general dentistry. Additionally, I am one of only a few dentists licensed to perform IV sedation, sleep dentistry to help those of you who are anxious. My belief and commitment is to deliver outstanding dental care and positive patient experiences. We look forward to serving you. If you have a dental question or concern, don't hesitate to call us at 386-673-1611 or visit AtlanticDentists.com.
Hi, this is David Holland. I've been going to Dr. Drake's office for over 20 years. I trust them, and you can too.
Where can you find more spin than in politics? If you said financial services, you'd be correct. Just ask a stockbroker or insurance agent how you should invest your money, and what do you think they would say? Unfortunately, if an advisor is limited in what he can offer, that advisor is often understandably biased. You need to ask questions like what products and services they can and cannot offer. Ask about their licensing and credentials. Remain skeptical. This PSA has been brought to you by Holland Financial, who wants to help you to plan stronger. For more information, call 671-PLAN or visit planstronger.com.
And we're back. Christine Benz on the lines, Director of Personal Finance for Morningstar. A lot of her great articles are over there at morningstar.com. And one of the recent ones was tips for inflation-proofing your portfolio. I wanted to get to spend a little bit of time talking about that as well, Christine. And, you know, inflation, you know, recent reading is what? In the 2 to 2.5% range. And so what are some of the thoughts or what are you seeing or some of the strategies that maybe we should be thinking about, at least as we anticipate maybe more inflation? What are some thoughts you have in this area?
It's hard to imagine that inflation will stay as low as it has been for a long time. And one thing I often say is it's important to think about, rather than just focusing on what CPI is, think about what your own experience is. Because we each have our own consumption basket, the things that we spend money on. And if you're seeing a high level of inflation in your daily life, then to me that argues that you should be thinking about inflation protection in your portfolio.
I also say
that it's really important to think about inflation protection, especially when you are getting close to retirement or in retirement, because when you're young and still working, you are eligible for cost of living increases, which should, over time, we hope, keep up with inflation. If you are someone who is drawing from your portfolio for your living expenses, those withdrawals are not automatically inflation adjusted. So adding inflation protection is especially important for folks who are getting close to retirement or in retirement. Certainly people who have stocks in their portfolio with that asset class, they have an asset class that has a good shot at outperforming mm-hmm. inflation over time. So yeah. even if we have muted equity market returns, maybe 6%, that still is comfortably ahead of what inflation has historically been. So yeah. make sure that you have some stocks in your portfolio. The right amount really depends on your life stage and your specific mm-hmm. situation, but some equity, that would be a key asset class that I would put forth as a must own if you're concerned about inflation.
Well put, Christine. I think 6%, you know, you could mute a lot of us and say, we'll take 6%, we'll take 6% right now, bird in hand, I'll take it. But, you know, that comes with some volatility and certainly some lack of predictability. But, you know, the thing that you make a great point, and this is something I don't think that people can hear too often or too much, and is that, you know, no matter where you are in the investment cycle or your life stage, whether you're drawing on your portfolio or still building toward the future, you know, having a portion of your money in the market is prudent, and it's great for inflation hedging or inflation protection. I've run the numbers historically, and I'm sure you have too, and gone back and looked at, you know, what are some of the best hedges against inflation. And in my view, you know, the equity market is the right place to hedge, with the caveat that, you know, it's got to be money that you're not using today or in the near
right.
term. So, you know, if somebody's going to be drawing from their portfolio, you know, a year from now, then we definitely need to have monies that are in other categories that are more income oriented or more principal protected.
Right. Absolutely. I would completely agree.
Well, it's a, and as you also alluded, it's a bit art here. You know, it's not all science. There's a dialing in and getting what's right for the person based on where they are, their assets, their other income sources, and understandably and appropriately how comfortable you are with that volatility, because not everybody is as comfortable as other people are.
That's right. One other category I would throw out, David, is in addition, maybe a slightly lower volatility category would be what are called treasury inflation protected mm-hmm. securities, essentially inflation protected bonds. You can buy I-bonds directly from the treasury, or you can invest in what are called TIPS, treasury inflation protected securities. I would typically recommend that investors invest in TIPS by buying some sort of a mutual fund mm-hmm. that bundles a variety of TIPS together. But the advantage of a TIPS bond versus a nominal bond is that you also receive a little bit of an adjustment in your principal value to keep up with inflation. So it does offer a more or less direct hedge against inflation. I think it can be a nice addition to the bond portion of an investor's portfolio. So a slightly lower volatility addition, and it can make a nice inflation hedge.
Excellent. Christine Benz, ladies and gentlemen, Director of Personal Finance from Morningstar, morningstar.com. Christine, welcome back anytime. Thanks for being with us.
David, thank you so much.
Today's edition of Real Money Radio has been brought to you by Holland Financial, conveniently located on Granada Boulevard in Ormond Beach. Could you benefit from a one-on-one confidential conversation with David Holland, or would you like a second opinion to make sure that you're on the right track? Call Holland Financial at 671-PLAN or visit us at planstronger.com to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David looks forward to discussing the financial issues that matter most to you. The host of Real Money Radio, David Holland, is a certified financial planner with over 20 years of experience. And because David provides advice to clients on a daily basis, his hyperactive compliance department wants us to tell you that David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, a registered investment advisory firm. He offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Commentary given during this radio program should not be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and planning services can only be given after an analysis of an individual situation and only where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering. Real Money Radio is produced by Holland Productions.